Tonight I have a subject that I'd like for us to take a look at. If I could put a topic to it, I'd like to talk to you tonight about walking on water. How valuable is that to you tonight? I'd like to look at the story that we read about it. It's in Matthew 14 and 24. If we could put ourselves in this incident, it says, "The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' Peter answered and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and he said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" So I looked at this story and was wanting to apply it to my life in 2020. You know, I don't really have any desire to be able to walk on water, literally. But you know, I do realize I've got some storms that come in my life. All of us do have some storms that come into my life. And if I listen real close, I'll hear Jesus call for me to leave the security of my own thinking and come to him. I was thinking of the verse in Proverbs 3 and 5 through 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths." So many times my human reasoning says, that won't work. That's not going to work right there. In this, I was looking at Peter when he's not even sure who that is out there. But he said, "Lord, I tell you what, if it's you, bid me to come to you." And Jesus tells him, "Okay, come." And I was thinking about for us today, we have things come into our life, and it just seems like it's going to be impossible that it could ever work out. But if I could realize all I've got to do is have Jesus bid me to come, and everything is going to be okay. Because there is a tendency that I can have, that each of us could have. And it's in another description. I'd like to look in Mark. His disciples had another time where they needed the Lord, and they saw things a little bit different then. Mark 4 and 36. And it says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say to him, 'Master, carest not thou that we perish?'" You know, that can sometimes be kind of my response when troubles come to me. "Now, Lord, don't you care that I've got this big problem?" Remember when Mary came to Jesus? "I've got this trouble I need you to take care of for me." We can have problems that we face. But for me to be able to realize, like Peter, all I need is Jesus to call for me to come to him. And he does that. I say, well, okay, I need him to call me physically. I need to literally hear his voice. But no, there's so many places, so many promises in the scripture that are just like his voice calling to me. So I would like to look at some things. There's some important things for me to remember before I try to step outside of my human reasoning. And here's one of them. In John, the 15th chapter, where it talks about the vine and the branches, it goes down in 15 and 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And this is what's going to be real important for us. For without me, you can do nothing. I'm going to need the Lord's help to be able to be successful. So it's not something that I can muster up courage and strength on my own, but that I would realize that without him, I can do nothing. But then there's a song that we sing, I need thee every hour. And to realize that, you know what, throughout my life, I need him on the times when it seems like everything is going well and I'm in control. I know what's going to happen next. I know how to take care of it. You know, there are times when it's out of control and I can easily go to the Lord and I need your help on this one. But you know, we need him just as much on the ones that we think we have in control. You ever had times where things were going very well? You can feel like I've got it, and then all of a sudden something changes and I need help. I mentioned it this morning with Sister Lorinda Wednesday night testifying how that she was traveling back to Weatherford on the interstate at night and her headlights just went out. You know, I just tried to imagine what that would be like for me if it would have happened. And so she was talking about how they came back on again. The Lord helped her to be able to get to where she could get it fixed. But then, as I went home Wednesday night, you know, I'm just going along thinking about Lorinda and how terrible that would have been. And all of a sudden right out here on Sooner Road, my headlights went out. Didn't touch anything. Nothing. I hadn't done nothing, but I'm just going down the road in the dark. And I mean, it was dark. You know how quickly you can move from everything's good. My car's running good. I've got plenty of gas. Everything is, I'm in control. To in a split second, I'm out of control. I don't know. I need to get this thing stopped. I don't know what to do. But you know, we can have times in our life where that same thing happens. We can have things happen that get up in the morning and things feel like they're going fine for us. And so quickly, you know, it can be only a phone call away. Somebody call us and tell us what has happened, and all of a sudden our life can be out of control. Except for when I realize, you know what, I don't get out of the boat unless Jesus is there and bids me to come. I don't get out on my own strength because he tells me without me you can do nothing. There is a verse I'd like to look at in Psalms, the 61st chapter. Because we're all going to have some trouble come to us. Psalms 61 and 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. You ever been in a place like that? My heart's overwhelmed. It's just more than I can handle right now. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. You know, when I have adversity, trouble come to me and life seems to go out of control, that I can have this prayer. Lord, would you lead me to the rock that is higher than I am? I'm thankful that I don't have to make it on my own. But you know, Paul came to a place. It's true, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But then Paul came to a place in Philippians 4 and 13. He said, I can do all things, but he didn't stop there. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. For us to be able to all realize, you know what, I can't have enough strength in myself to handle the troubles that can come into my life. But the Lord's telling me, just like he told Peter, tell you what, come on. You can come to me, and by faith, we can come to him. Another verse is in Psalms 121. Where am I going to look when I'm having difficulties come to me? Psalms 121 and 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. So I've got a place that I'm going to. I'm going to lift up my eyes to God. He's going to be able to help me. There was a place also in Psalm 66. Psalms 66 and 10. You know, it's good for us to realize that when trouble comes, God has allowed it. You know, when Job had trouble come into his life, what if he would have only focused on the person that did him trouble, that caused him trouble? You know, he could have left there with his thoughts being consumed with, the Sabaeans took these things from me, the Chaldeans took these things from me. But you know, he didn't do that. He said it was the Lord that gave, and it was the Lord that took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this one in 66 and 10, it says, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water." So all these things that happened to him, there was a person that had a name attached that caused these things to happen. But this writer was able to, and let's see, this is, it doesn't say that it was David, but it's saying, Lord, you are the one that caused them. You are the one that allowed it to be. And you know how much better that was for Job? Lord, you were the one that gave me this wealth. You have allowed the wealth to be taken away from me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This one says, "We went through fire, through water, but thou broughtest us into a wealthy place." And I am very thankful for that, because it tells us also when we come into those places, in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, and in the first verse, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel." And I was thinking of a song, number 284 we sing sometime, "The Virtue of Faith." In verse 2, "Upon the troubled, restless wave, his fearful, trembling ones to save, the Master walked and calmed the sea, the wildly tossing Galilee. By faith again I hear his voice in tones which make my heart rejoice. When fears my soul with terror thrill, he gently whispers, peace be still." So we read there in Matthew of it happening with Peter and the Lord coming along with him. But you know, in 2020, we can have the same thing, where the Lord can help us in our difficulties, that we can feel him saying, "You come and I'll be with you." The ability for us to get on top of our problem instead of it causing us to sink. There was a verse that was used this morning in the Sunday school class, and I think it's important for us to realize with this. It's in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Three and 5. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves." You know what? None of this is an ability that we have. It's all coming from the Lord. "Think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." And as I thought about this subject that we're talking about tonight, I thought about Paul's experience. You know, really his experience could be compared to what Peter went through. Something that was not humanly possible for him to do. You remember on his way to Damascus, and when Jesus met him and he asked him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" This in the 9th chapter of Acts. And kind of like Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, would you bid me to come?" Paul asked him, "Lord, who art thou? I thought I understood the direction I was going, but would you help me to know, to be clear about it?" And you know, at that point, Paul started out on a journey that really was humanly impossible to complete in himself. And the reason I say that is let's take a look at 2 Corinthians in the 11th chapter. By himself, I don't believe he would have ever made it through this journey. 11 and 24, because here he describes what all came his way in this journey. It says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. You know, it'd be something to be beaten one time, but he received it 5 different times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. And he went on through these verses in journeyings often, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, among false brethren. And all of this list of things that he showed us, what kept Paul from sinking? What kept Paul from looking at the waves and saying, this is a big storm and I'm not going to be able to make it? I looked at what helped him, and it can also be a help to us. It's in Hebrews 12. Starts out at 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And here is what Paul did. It's the same thing that Peter did. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is going to be the important thing for us, is in those difficult times, where do my eyes go? Do they go to the one that is causing me trouble, or do I look to Jesus? I was thinking about the waves that came on Paul. You know, he had a care. He had a love for souls, and that love caused him to be willing to suffer some things. In Romans 10 and 1, he said, my heart's desire and my prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. He had one goal in mind. I would love to be able to help my fellow man to be able to be saved. What was the response that came back to him for all the effort that he made for people to be saved? I was looking at this. You know, we would like to be well thought of. We would like for people to appreciate what we're doing for them. But look what came back to him, Acts 23 and 12. Look at 11. The night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So in other words, it's not over yet. I've got some other things for you to do. But look at this next verse. When it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying, they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Now, you know, that's amazing to think of, for all the effort that he made. And here's what comes back is people saying, you know what? We're going to not eat again until he's dead. In other words, his life has got to go right away. So I look at those things that could have turned him around, and the highs and the lows that Paul went through. I looked in one chapter. This is in Acts, in the 14th chapter. You know how good you can feel when people appreciate you? And how it can change so quickly. I remember Brother Marty in a message saying before that when someone really compliments a message of his, he will, in his mind, he will put it in a paper sack and just put it there. Because soon someone is going to tell him what a terrible job he did. And you put that in the paper sack too and shake it up, and they're both worth about the same. So rather than let it get him down, he rose above it. And that's what happened with Paul. You know, Paul had a time where he was, let's look at this. In Acts 14 and 8 through 13, he had a very high time. Where when they healed someone, Yeah, see in the 10th verse, he said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices. The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Now, you know, all of a sudden, Paul is real important to the people there. It says they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes, ran in among them, crying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you. So here's a time where they are really exalted. But you know what happens before that very chapter is over? In fact, just a few verses on down, in the 19th verse, you know, people were really looking up at who Paul was. He was really somebody. But now it says, there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, which this 19th verse, who persuaded the people and having stoned Paul. You know, he went from this place where they were going to worship him, offer sacrifices for him. He went from that to two or three verses later, he was stoned. But you know, none of those things did he allow to get him down. There's another verse, that verse 4 of 284. I believe this was also Paul's testimony. The waves around may fiercely roll. They cannot harm my trusting soul. Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to thee. The darkest night and brazen sky are pierced by faith's unfailing eye. My cry shall be till time shall cease. O blessed Lord, my faith increase. Paul had some testimonies that when he looked at what was out ahead of them in Acts, the 20th chapter and the 22nd verse, rather than saying, you know, for all I've done for the Lord and he hasn't helped me, I'm quitting. He didn't do that. 20 and 22. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. How could he do that? And how can we in 2020 do that? That I have committed myself to the Lord. We sang that song a while ago of contrasting things. Whether the sun's shining or whether the rain is falling, whether it's good times or whether it's bad times, I'm still the Lord's. And that's what he did. 8th chapter of Romans, he said, who's going to separate us from the love of God? Can persecution, can all these things separate us? That's in Romans 8 and 35. Because those were things that could have done it. And he did not allow any of them to do it. He said, none of these things will move me. Right at the last of that 8th chapter. You know, he said in here, 28th verse of 8th chapter, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to his purpose. And then he goes on down 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. And it says, I am persuaded, 38th verse. And he went through that long list again. None of these things are going to move me. You know, he said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's going to be real important for us to be able to see whatever troubles we go through in this life. I need to have something to compare them with. I need to realize, you know what, there's heaven out ahead for me if I'll be faithful. And I think that's what he said, he showed was, these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but we're looking at the things which are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. When we will match this up against the eternal, then we would be able to realize these are light afflictions. And there is another place, 2 Peter, in the first chapter, because there is, when we're talking about walking on water, we don't have a need to walk on literal water. But you know what? I can have difficulties come to me, and I need the Lord to be able to help me with those. And it's more valuable to me than just walking on literal water. And here's what I need. 2 Peter, the first chapter, and the third verse. According as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. I'm thinking about that, what the Lord would have us to be able to have in this time, his divine nature. What was his nature? It tells us in Philippians, the second chapter, that he took upon him the form of a servant, and he was willing to serve other people. And when he was reviled, he reviled not again. The example that he gave us, I don't need to walk on literal water today, but I'm going to have some storms come in my life where I'm going to need his power in my life, something more than what I can do. When Jesus gave us the example, he's going to the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. We're going to have some times where we're going to have trouble come into our life by others. Can I be a partaker of the divine nature? No, I don't need to walk on water, but I need to get on top of the troubles that can come into my life and have the Lord take me through those. I was thinking of Stephen in the Bible, Acts the 7th chapter, 59 and 60. When he now is being stoned, and he is able to have this request of the Lord, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. So if this is the only thing that would keep that person out of heaven, I'd like for you to clear it for them. You know what? This is walking on spiritual water. This is us being able to climb on top of the problems instead of sinking down underneath them. Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee. So when we have trouble out in the future, let's ask the Lord. Lord, I tell you what, if it's you there, bid me to come to you in this difficulty. More than just a literal storm, but in the storms of our life. And I believe we can have victory, just like Peter did whenever he started toward him and kept his eyes on him. There is a song, and I'm not sure that I have it right. I would like for us to sing this song. It's the best I can tell from it is, you got any mountains that seem are impossible, or got any rivers you cannot pass through? God specializes in things that are impossible. He'll do what others can never do. If we could find that song, I'd like for us to sing it together, because we're going to hit, you know, we're in a time where we should be able to figure it. The world says we can figure it out. We can come up with the answers to life's problems. No, there's some of them that are bigger than I can handle. But God specializes in those things that just seem impossible to me to be able to work out. He'll do what others could never do. And I am so thankful for that. Desire prayers.